Good morning, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church on this crisp fall morning here in Middle Tennessee. My name is Reverend Brandon Baxter, and I'm one of the associate pastors here at West End, and we would like to welcome you to worship this morning, whether you're here in the sanctuary with us or whether you are somewhere participating with us online. We welcome you to be a part of this time together, where we seek to draw near to God and one another. I know it's fall break this week, so we have a lot of people traveling in various places. We want to remember them today and pray for their safe return from wherever it is that they are traveling at this time. If you would, we would invite you to register your attendance with us this morning. Now, if you're worshiping with us online, you can find our attendance form online at the link that should be showing on your screen right now, or it may be showing up in the chat as well. And you can let us know that you are here with us. If you're in the sanctuary today, you may also find a pad in the pews there at the end of the rows. And those attendance pads are a place where you can write your name and maybe any contact information you would like to share with us if you are a visitor and you'd like to know more about our ministries here at West End, and that way we can reach out to you. Also, if it's easier for you, you can also find the QR code that's inside the bulletin. It's on the back, and you can scan that with your phone, and that will take you to a link where you can find the online attendance form as well as online giving, prayer requests, and things like that. We have just a couple of announcements this morning. First of all, I'd like to remind everybody that tonight is our monthly Tize service of healing, worship service of healing. And at Tize, we have time where we spend time singing in meditative, repetitive music. We also spend time in silence. And it's a wonderful time to center ourselves on God as we seek to come nearer to God's presence. And so we would invite you to join us here in the sanctuary at 5 o'clock for that Tize service tonight, or you can join us online either by Facebook or live stream. Also, we want to remind everyone that it's hard to believe, but Halloween is right around the corner, and that means our annual Trunk or Treat is coming up. And it will be on October 24th from 4 to 6 p.m., Now, the Trunk or Treat will be drive-through again this year. We did that last year, and we're doing that one more year. So if you plan to have a trunk, you're welcome to decorate a trunk and be there to hand out candy, but you'll be passing out candy to people that are driving by in cars as opposed to walking by like we would typically do. You can also donate candy to the cause. We always need lots and lots of candy for the Trunk or Treat. So if you'd like to donate candy, you may drop candy off at the church on the first floor just inside the main entrance in one of the blue bins. If you would like more details about the Trunk or Treat, you can find those at westendumc.org/trunk-or-treat. And now let us turn our hearts and minds to God, who it is that we seek to follow, who it is that we seek to position and posture our lives toward and around. Let us worship the God who calls us into God's presence.
Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Sing and rejoice,
sing and rejoice,
sing and rejoice, rejoice.
Our minds are held captive by the concerns of our lives. Our spirits are distracted by scarcity and competition. God invites us to transformation through worship and service. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are and what we carry are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Merciful and gentle God, we confess that we have wanted reward without sacrifice. We have been unwilling to serve and have not humbled ourselves to follow you. Forgive our arrogance, gracious God. Amend our hearts that we might change our ways. Help us to know your glory through servanthood, and guide us to be true followers of your way through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation in love in whatever ways you feel most comfortable. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those who for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be the first among you must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite any children or young persons who are in the space this morning to come forward and spend a little time with me. I'm going to set out some places for you to sit. And then if there are children and little ones at home, you may come closer to the screen right now, and I'll talk to you as well. We're going to talk a little bit here. Come on over this way. All right, somebody gets a penguin and somebody gets a giraffe. Come on. Can you come on? Come on over. Oh, yeah, you can. Yeah, your mom can come. Come on. Yeah. All right. All right. So, I've been thinking a lot this week about something. I have been thinking about posture. I've been thinking about posture and how I stand or sit or move, and the ways that we might use our bodies also to praise God. And you know what? In the church, a lot of times we do a lot of things to praise God. We don't only use our minds and not even just our voices, but we use our bodies. So I was thinking of a couple things this week. Like one thing we sometimes do, maybe we, can you do your hands like that? I'm pretending I'm reading my Bible, right? I might sit and read my Bible. That might be one way that I learn about God and praise God in my life. Another thing, you know what they did in the early church? A lot of times they do their hands like, can you do this? Do your hands like this. They called that the orans. Sometimes we might just call it holy hands today, but opening ourselves up to receive the presence of God with us. Yeah. Sometimes we might bow our heads in prayer, right? Can you do that? Can you bow your heads like this for a moment? And then one other thing we might do sometimes is we might let our neighbors know that we love them and care for them very much. So we might, can you do that? Can you give me a thumbs up? You're cool. You're good. Awesome. Great. There's so many ways we can use our bodies to show that we love and care about God. And so today I want us to pray together using our bodies and pray for God to be with us, that you might share God's love with every person that you come into contact with. So can you do that praise thing for me again? Can you do this? Let's praise God. And let's pray. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for children. We give you thanks for your presence with us here today. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would be with us and that you would fill us with your love that we might share it with the whole world. It's in your holy name that we pray. Amen. All right, thank you so much. You may go back to your seats. Thanks to everybody out there too. If you are 3 to 5 years old and you want to head to Children's Church, Pastor Maggie's right over there, and she's ready to take you to Children's Church, okay? It was a joy this morning. I just wanted to mention that we had we gave out preschool Bibles this morning, and we had a whole slew of preschoolers up here, and the energy was infectious, and I'm still riding a little bit off of that joy and that spirit that they brought this morning. So I hope you'll go back and watch the early service if you're participating in this service right now, so you can see them come up and get their Bibles. It was really a wonderful moment. Posture is important. A simple Google search on the topic of posture will bring up an array of articles referencing the physical and even the mental benefits of maintaining good posture. It's more than simply standing up straight. Maintaining good posture helps reduce various types of pain. It strengthens core muscles in our bodies. It protects our joints. It makes our breathing more effective. And it can even improve our self-confidence. Simply put, posture matters. Furthermore, the way we posture ourselves or position ourselves says something to the world around us and to those whom we encounter. This might include our physical posture, but posturing goes beyond the body and has something to do with our inner motivations as well. Our attitudes and our demeanors are the postures of our souls. They're the positions of our personality that determine who we are in the world. So posturing matters too. Now, as I imagine this scene that we heard read a few minutes ago from the Gospel of Mark, I see lots of posturing. And I picture James and John, the sons of Zebedee, as two guys who have really good posture. I can't imagine that they are slouches by any definition imaginable, physically or attitudinally. You see, these are the two apostles that Jesus sees fit to give a nickname to. Now, I don't know if you know your Gospel of Mark that well, but back in chapter 3, when Jesus chooses these two as his apostles, he gives them the nickname, the Sons of Thunder. Now, to me, that sounds a little bit like a WWE wrestling team, or a rock band, or a biker gang. Introducing the Sons of Thunder. There's really no explanation as to why Jesus gives them this name. But I can't imagine that he called them the Sons of Thunder because they were withdrawn or quiet or slow to action. No, I suspect that James and John stood strong and tall, were forthright and projected confidence wherever they went. So perhaps it should come as no surprise then that even though Jesus has already explained to the disciples before that there is currently no greatest among them, that James and John should come forward to request positions of honor at some time in the future when Jesus is glorified. And I can't imagine that Jesus was particularly surprised by their bold request either. Now, it's easy for us to roll our eyes at what we imagine to be James and John's hubris. It's easy to get indignant like the other apostles and wonder how these guys can be so cocky. But if we're honest, James and John are probably best understood as self-confident go-getters. By our normal standards of trying to get ahead in the world, to make something of ourselves, James and John are posturing in all the right ways. If Jesus and his followers are on the right path, and if their message and ministry are truly liberating, and if they are the righteous ones, why not stand up tall and fight for the good and take their rightful place among the gloriously righteous? If they had had Instagram back then, I imagine these two smiling proudly in a selfie with Jesus, followed by hashtag doing good, hashtag sons of thunder, hashtag winning. Now, frankly, I don't think these guys are so off base, at least not in the sense that they understand the way the world usually works. In fact, I suspect if I had been there that I would have maybe admired these guys and looked up to them a bit. In fact, I wonder if the other apostles admired them and maybe envied them a little too. And yet, for all of the adept posturing of James and John, Jesus has something new to teach them. Jesus wants them to know that there is more than one way to be a winner, and there are perhaps better postures to take for those who hope to be advocates for goodness and liberation in the world. For all of their giftedness, James and John can only hope to be world changers in the way of Jesus if they begin to posture like he does. I think it's important to notice here that Jesus does not rebuke them in their request to be seated with Jesus in glory. This is not like the time when Peter was rebuked by Jesus because he couldn't accept the path that Jesus was on. James and John seem to have grasped much of the truth that Jesus has been speaking to them. I suspect that they have come to understand what Jesus has taught them about seeking a reversal of fortune for those on the underside of privilege or of power or of health or of wealth. They've caught a glimpse of what Jesus is up to as he bears witness to the healing and freeing power of the kingdom of God. And here in these final moments, before they enter into Jerusalem, I think they understand that the mission is about to kick into high gear. But what they still fail to understand is how Jesus plans to go about his work. They still imagine some sort of glorious triumph for the underdogs. And they imagine that Jesus and his followers will ultimately take the place and the power of those unjust rulers that came before, and then all will be well. But Jesus knows there's a different way, one made possible by a posture towards power that runs counter to their expectations. Now, as I think about Jesus trying to teach these men an alternative posture, strangely enough, I'm reminded of my college days as a music major when I was studying voice. Because singing requires a unique coordination of muscles and breathing, assuming a good posture is crucial for singing. So I remember hours spent with my voice teacher examining the ways I was standing, how I was allowing space for my diaphragm to fill with air, when I was too tense in the shoulders, and on and on. And sometimes to achieve optimum posture, I had to do things that were counterintuitive. So for instance, did you know that one of the easiest ways to discover what a good deep breath feels like is to lean all the way over with your hands around your waist and to breathe in? There is no way to breathe improperly in that position. Of course, you don't want to sing with your head bent down between your knees all the time. So then you begin to lift your body up and find the proper position where you can still maintain that good deep breathing while remaining upright. So paradoxically, you can lean over to discover how to stand with better singing posture. Someone in the choir from the last service reminded me you can also lie down to do that. You can even lie down to practice good posture. There are countless other examples of these counterintuitive methods for discovering better singing posture, but they all involve first breaking posture altogether, analyzing what happens, and then applying it to new ways of standing or even sitting. And in his response to the request of James and John, I think that Jesus acts somewhat like my voice instructor. As Jesus suggests these counterintuitive practices that will actually serve James and John and the others better in the long run in their quest to be followers of the ways of God. So Jesus begins by addressing James and John directly. And he hints at this different posture of discipleship. First, he asks them if they can drink from the same cup and receive the same baptism as he. And of course, in their self-confident manner, James and John say, "Sure we can." But what may be clear to us in retrospect is not clear to them yet. The proverbial cup hints at the fate of Jesus. It will be this same cup that not too long from now becomes a literal cup that Jesus will be lifting up and saying, "This is my blood." It will not be too long from now until Jesus will be praying in the Garden of Gethsemane that if it be God's will that this cup pass from him. The cup they will all drink from is one of shared sacrifice and perhaps even death. And the baptism of Jesus in which they share is not just a repentance from individual sin, but rather a sign that marks their mission to bring healing and liberation to the world, no matter the consequences. So one does not always take this kind of cup and this kind of baptism standing tall. Sometimes it requires a posture of stooping low. And Jesus does promise James and John that they will indeed share in his cup and baptism. But they probably can't yet comprehend the fullness of what that means for them. And then Jesus hints at another aspect of a disciple's posture: radical humility before the will of God. Jesus tells James and John that even he cannot guarantee a place of glory for them. Rather, their place in the story of God's unfolding work of salvation is ultimately not even Jesus's to determine. Rather, Jesus suggests that if these sons of thunder dare to follow the way of Jesus, that their journey and their fate will be their own. It will be between them and God, and yet it will be part of the same work. And here Jesus suggests a spiritual posture of openness and receptivity to the surprising and unpredictable ways of God. And then finally, Jesus gets to the heart of his teaching as he gathers the other apostles around. He anticipates that he may not be with them for a whole lot longer. Soon they will be the ones living by the Spirit and working in the name of God. They will be the ones to continue spreading the liberating news of God's kingdom. And they will be the ones who have the potential to use or to abuse their power in the name of God. So I think it's significant that this is Jesus' last major teaching before they enter Jerusalem. He tells his apostles that instead of wielding power like the Gentile rulers with which they are familiar, they will instead unleash the liberating power of God by laying down their own presumption to power. Their posture will not be one of an upright king or even a council that is ruling justly, but as a servant or even a slave. God will reign only if they choose not to. Those who need to be liberated from unjust rulers and systems of power will only find freedom if the disciples of God take on the posture of Jesus, who himself spends much of his time bowed in prayer, kneeling in service to others, and forsaking control over others, even those who would seek to do him harm. But the disciples were probably asking the same question that we still have today. Why is this the posture Jesus calls for from his apostles and from those who seek to follow him? Sometimes when we try to understand this strange posturing of Jesus, I think we get tripped up a bit on this last bit where Jesus says this has something to do with paying a ransom for many. Because of 2,000 plus years of Christian tradition, we hear this explanation through religious ears as having only to do with Jesus dying to save us from our individual sins. And while I do not deny that being saved from our own transgressions is an important part of God's story and God's work in our lives, I'm afraid that here it distracts us from a much simpler understanding of what Jesus means to teach his apostles in this important moment. You see, this word that's sometimes translated as ransom, it literally means manumission or money that is paid to free someone from slavery or forced servitude. If you listen clearly and simply, you'll realize how radical and dangerous this teaching could be and why it got Jesus and his followers in a lot of trouble. Put simply, each time someone who can wield power chooses to lay it down and take on the role of servant or even slave, as Jesus puts it, someone else who has previously been forced to be a servant or slave is then freed for something else. When one who has already granted dignity in this world aligns themselves with the posture of one who is not granted that same respect, a space is created for that person to realize their own worth as well. This is the very real and very tangible kingdom of God on earth. This is an intentional and true and fruitful posture of humility. But lest we misunderstand Jesus, like the apostles were so often want to do in the book of Mark, pay close attention to how humility works here. This is expressly a teaching for the apostles and for any like them who may be in a position of power or authority or even rightness. For people such as these, humility means bringing one's posture low like that of a servant. But we make a mistake if we think this call to stooping low is a universal posture for all people at all times. For what good could come from stooping low for someone who is already stripped of dignity and respect? Rather, a different sort of humility is experienced by those who have been on the underside of privilege and power and health and wealth. Those who have been unjustly forced to stoop low are now humbled to discover that they can rise. They can stand up. They can seek the good for themselves and for others. They can now claim the dignity that was previously denied them. As God's followers divert power from the overseers by taking on the posture of servants, those who were subservient now rise to assume their own good and dignified posture. And this is the beginning of true salvation for the entire world. So perhaps the question Jesus invites us to ponder today is, how good is your posture? If you are someone who has a certain amount of power or privilege or wealth or health, maybe Jesus is inviting you to practice new postures of service and sacrifice so that your fellow siblings might catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God. If you're someone who's been weighed down by life, pushed down by others, or experienced hardships around health and happiness, then maybe Jesus is inviting you to claim your worthiness as a child of God. Maybe Jesus is inviting you to rise up in body or spirit with dignity and strength. And if you're someone who's a little bit of both of these, a little bit powerful and also a little bit downtrodden by life, which, hint, hint, is every single one of us, perhaps Jesus is inviting you to create places and spaces where people can work on their posture together. And at our best, together, this body of Christ here at West End United Methodist can be such a place where everyone can discover God-centered postures for living and loving. I pray that we would be known for our good posture.
Will you please stand with me as we say our affirmation of faith? We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can please place them in the offering boxes on your way out this afternoon. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, in this sacred moment, we come with all that we are, and we bring to you all that we carry. God, it is in this moment that we first again say two simple words, and that is thank you. Thank you, O God, for allowing us to come into this place to gather and to worship. God, we say thank you for providing. We say thank you for sustaining us in times of crisis and tears. God, we say thank you for holding us in our times of grief and sorrow. God, we say thank you for being our joy and our hope. God, we say thank you for keeping our families and loved ones safe. God, we say thank you for keeping us in between the two pillars of grace and mercy. God, in all that you have created us to be and how you challenge us to be more like Christ, we simply say thank you, because it is by your power, by your grace, and by your love, and by your mercy, we are able to stand and share our stories of a risen Savior. And God, in this moment, we dare not pray selfishly for our individual selves, but God, we also pray for our neighbors, whether sitting beside us or watching us online. God, be with them. We don't know the struggles or hardships or challenges that they may be facing, but God, let them know that you are real. Let them know that you are walking with them every step of the way. Let their hearts be reassured of your love. Let them be reminded that they have purpose and that their story is not over. God, we also come with the prayers of those who we hold dear to our hearts and the prayers of the unspoken. Lord, there are many in this world who seek to have a voice, who seek to find love, who seek to find compassion, who seek to find justice, and yet they are left stranded in the wind. God, for those persons who feel abandoned, who feel unloved, God, let them know that you hear them, that you see them. Let them be reminded of your gentle embrace and never-ceasing love. God, challenge us to embody the teachings of love, justice, mercy, and care. May we continue to show the world what it truly means to be the image of Christ. God, we are very grateful. We are grateful because we know that with each step we take, you are always by our side. And for that, we say thank you. God, we are grateful because we know that in all that we are, you still love us. You allow us to bring our questions, our concerns, our fears, our anger, our hurt, our love, and our joys, and yet you still embrace us. God, challenge us to be more loving, more understanding, and more caring. May we always be aware of your presence and be reminded that we are forever loved. God, be in front of us to guide us, behind us to protect us, above us to cover us, below us to uplift us, on our left and our right to walk beside us, and most of all, be within us to give us strength and peace. Continue to fill us with grace, peace, and love as we strive to embody the work of Christ and say the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the option listed on the screen or the chat. For those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the Northex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally. Amen.
Teach me thy patience still with thee in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong. What a wonderful hymn to remind us of what it means to have the posture of the one whom we follow. So I invite you to go out into the world this day to share God's love with each and every person that you meet. Be a light unto the world, just as Jesus was a light unto our world and continues to be. Thanks be to God. Amen.